Church, go ahead and open in God's Word this morning to John 15. We're finishing up John chapter 15 this morning. And if you are just now joining us, the series that we have been going through since the start of this year is Follow Me. What does it mean to be a follower of Jesus Christ? Because there are so many different opinions and there are so many different expectations and all of these different things that whether it's the church or the world or whatever has kind of thrown at the scripture, kind of thrown at believers, said this is what it looks like to be a follower of Jesus. And so we are looking from God's word, from the very words of Jesus himself, what does it mean to be a follower of him? In the past couple of weeks, we've looked at the different relationships that exist in the life of a follower of Jesus Christ. The first one being follower of Jesus has a relationship with? It was 2 weeks ago, y'all. With Jesus. It's the most Sunday school answer there is. It's Jesus. Yes. Followers of Jesus have a relationship with Jesus. We're called to abide in him. Apart from him, we can do nothing. There is nothing of eternal or spiritual value that we can do apart from Jesus. Because everything that is good, everything that is fruitful in the life of a believer comes through the work of God in us. So we have a relationship with the Lord Jesus. And then last week, Pastor Jonathan filled in for us and he went over the relationship that we have with each other. As believers in Christ, we have a relationship with one another. We have to have that relationship with one another. We're supposed to be loving one another. Jesus said what? The world will know you are my followers. The world will know you are my disciples by your love. There we see, you guys are getting it. By your love for one another. And this week, we're looking at the third relationship that is going to be evident in the life of a follower of Jesus. And this one's not as fun. See, the last 2 weeks, we've looked at positive things. We've looked at good things. We've looked at the positives of being in relationship with Jesus, the positives of being a follower of Christ. We get to have a relationship with the God of the universe. He knows us by name. We get to go before him and commune with him and fellowship with him. And we have a community of believers. We have brothers and sisters in Christ that we get to do life with, that we get to exhort one another and encourage one another as we jointly seek to follow the Lord. Those are good things. But what we're looking at today is not such a good thing. Because what we're looking at today is the relationship that exists between the believer and the world. And it's not good. It's not encouraging. In fact, it can be downright intimidating and scary at times. Because Jesus, in no uncertain terms, says, the world's going to hate you. If you're going to follow Jesus, then the world will hate you. And there's no way to get around that. That is simply the truth of the matter. You cannot be a follower of Jesus and be a friend of the world. It's not possible. But you see, this is something that we would rather not think about, something that we would rather not talk about because it's uncomfortable and it's a little discouraging. It can be kind of morbid. So we would prefer not to focus on this and just prefer to focus on the positive. I get to have a relationship with Jesus, and I get to have a relationship with all my brothers and sisters in Jesus who I go to church with, and it's wonderful, and it's good, and it's beautiful, and it's wholesome. But that's incomplete. It'd be an incomplete picture of what it means to follow Jesus. Because if we're honest with ourselves, I mean, who here wants to be hated? Nobody wants to be hated. We don't want that. We want everybody to like us. We want everybody to love us. We want to get along with everybody. I can remember when I was a little kid, I was in about second grade, and I was on a basketball team, and it was a second and third grade basketball league, so I was one of the younger kids on the team, but I had my friends on the team and all that kind of stuff, and there was this older kid who was in third grade, so, you know, big man on campus, and this kid, I mean, I didn't dislike him. We never had any, like, negative interactions or anything like that, but you know, one day, through the grapevine, I find out that this guy does not like me. And that was like new for me. I had never experienced a situation where somebody just did not like me. I mean, don't get me wrong, there were plenty of people I didn't like. But I had never experienced somebody not liking me. So I start racking my brain as any 7-year-old would, and I'm thinking, why does this guy not like me? Like, what did I do? Did I do something? And I can't figure out, why is this guy not like me? So finally, I just asked him, I said, so I heard you don't like me. He says, I don't. I'm like, well, why don't you like me? And in all of his third grade bravado, he's like, I just don't. I was like, thanks for clearing that up. But nobody likes to be disliked. I mean, that kind of like broke my heart. So I started to do all these extra kind of things to try and get the kid to like me. It didn't work. But, you know, it's fine. I haven't seen him in 20 years, so it's okay. But nobody likes to be disliked. We don't want to be hated. We want to have good, positive interactions there. We want everybody to love us because Jesus calls us to love everybody. And it's just so much easier to love people if they love you back, right? But that's not the case. So look at John 15. I'm going to start reading in verse 18 this morning. It says, if the world hates you, know that it has hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love you as its own. But because you're not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will also keep yours. But all these things they will do to you on account of my name, because they do not know him who sent me. Coming off of all of the positive things that Jesus was teaching his disciples, the abiding in me, if you abide in me, I'll abide in you. If you abide in me, I'll produce fruit in your life, and you will know that you are my disciple by your love for one another. Love each other, love me, abide in me, stay with each other. These are good, positive things that Jesus is telling his disciples. And now we transition, and the transition is, if the world hates you, know that it hated me first. And understand the way that this is written, this is not a conditional statement like it's possible that the world could hate you. This is actually a definitive statement. He's saying the world is going to hate you. And the reason the world is going to hate you is because the world has already hated me. We know the world hated Jesus. I mean, think about everything that Jesus went through in his time on earth. From the very moment that he was born, people wanted him dead. He was a baby. He hadn't done anything. But yet, King Herod wanted him dead. He went so far as to have all male children under the age of 2 executed in Bethlehem to make sure that Jesus died. Jesus was hated for his entire life. He faced obstacle after obstacle. He faced enemy after enemy all through his ministry. And then it all culminates with what? Crucifixion. Jesus was hated. To this day, Jesus is hated. And Jesus brings up a statement here. He says, this is something that he had mentioned back in chapter 13 of the Gospel of John. He says, a servant is not greater than his master. Now, the original context in which he said that, he was talking about service. Because that was the time where Jesus washes the disciples' feet. And he's illustrating for them. And he's telling them, you, my followers, you need to understand, you're here to serve. You're not here to be served. Jesus, the Son of God, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, he came to this earth and he did what? He served. He didn't come to be served. He came to serve. And he's illustrating that in his life, and he's teaching his followers, you have to serve. The servant is not greater than the master. If I'm here to serve you, don't think that you get to not serve anybody else. But that statement is applicable for more than just that situation. Now Jesus reuses that statement. A servant is not greater than his master. Understand, the world hated me, the world will hate you. You see, we don't like to hear that. In fact, we do a lot of things to try and get around that. But you see, you cannot be a follower of Jesus and the world not hate you. If you're going to follow Jesus, the world will hate you. Understand what we're talking about when we're talking about the world. In John's gospel, in his letters, he's referring, this isn't just talking about an individual who isn't saved or something like that. When we're talking about the world, we're talking about a system of organized society that is hostile toward God, is influenced completely by Satan. That's what's being referred to. And the world is going to hate Jesus, and the world is going to hate his followers. And we try to get around this. And we do this in so many different ways. We do this by trying to tone down the gospel. We'll try to tone down the gospel. We'll try to tone down our commitment to the gospel. We'll try to tone down our commitment to the church. We'll try to tone down our commitment to Jesus. We're going to tone all that stuff down so that we're not as intimidating or threatening to the world. Or we won't call out sin for what it is because, you know, we don't want to do anything that's going to cause people to get uncomfortable. We don't want to do anything that's going to cause people to get upset. So let's just not talk about these things over here and only talk about these things over here because people are okay with this. And you know what that's called? That's called trying to be a friend with the world. And you might think, well, that doesn't sound so bad. I mean, shouldn't we try to be friends with the world? If they're going to hate us, shouldn't we try to be friends with them? Actually, no. If you go to James chapter 4, James is actually talking to Christians, to believers who have been trying to do this, have been trying to be friends with the world. And he calls them out. And you know what he says? He says, you adulterous people, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Do you not know that to be a friend of the world is to be an enemy of God? You cannot have it both ways. You have to choose. You have to make your choice. You have to make your decision. Either you are going to be a friend of the world or you are going to be a friend of God. But make no mistake, you cannot do both. It's not possible to do both. Because the world is going to hate followers of Jesus. Why? He says, if you were of the world would love you. If you were of the world would love you. But, because you're not of the world, I chose you out of the world. Therefore, the world hates you. See, when we become followers of Jesus, we're transformed. We are transformed from dead to alive. We are transformed and we are made new. We are conformed into the very image of Jesus. We're meant to look and to resemble Jesus. The world's already made it clear that it doesn't want Jesus. So it's not going to want those who look like Jesus. Because when we become followers of Christ, guess what? We have a new source of joy. We have a new source of life. We have a new sense of purpose. We have a whole new standard for life that is set for us by Jesus. We're not of the world anymore. We live in the world, but we're not of the world. We're different. We're supposed to be different. Stop trying to make yourself look like the world when you're called to be different. See, that's where the church is stumbling right now. Because we're trying to change what Jesus has said here. We're trying to make it to where the world doesn't hate us. The world is going to hate followers of Jesus. That is not going to change. There's nothing that I can say to change that. There's nothing that you can say to change that. There's nothing that any of us can say or do that is going to change that. So we have to stop trying to water down the gospel. We have to stop trying to make the gospel easier or more palatable for people to hear. Guess what? The gospel is already easy. Because we don't have to do anything. It's already easy. There is no making it easier. Jesus paid it all. Jesus took the sin of the world. He took all of our sin and he paid for it on the cross. We don't have to do anything. We can't make that easier, but we can change it. And honestly, that's what we're doing. When we try to make the gospel more palatable, when we try to water it down like that, the only thing we're really doing is changing it so that it's not the gospel anymore. But I want to point out something else here. See, it's not just that we try to get around this by being friends with the world. We try to get around this by actually retaliating against the world. Notice throughout this passage, I want you to notice this. It says, if the world hates you, know that the world has first hated me. If you were of the world would love you as its own, but because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. Verse 21, but all these things they will do to you on my account, because they do not know him who sent me. Notice the direction of the hatred in that passage. Jesus says over and over again in those few verses, the world will hate you. The world will persecute you. The world will not love you. Let me ask us a question here. And I want us to really think about this. Anywhere in that passage, does Jesus say that we should hate the world? No, he doesn't. And in our flesh, we think that's kind of a shame, don't we? Because it'd be so much easier to just hate the world. It really would. It'd be so much easier just to hate the world. Because they hate us. And in our flesh, if somebody hates us, we'll hate you too. And that's eventually what I did as a second grader. Well, you hate me? Well, I hate you too. It didn't matter to him either, so it's fine. But we have to understand this, church. Because you see, really, there are two sides of the spectrum here. There is trying to get around the world hating us by befriending it as best we can, which is impossible because we have to choose. We can be friends with the world or we can be friends with God. It can't be both. Or, if the world's going to hate us, we can hate the world right back. You see, they're both wrong. Neither one of them is even close to right. Because as followers of Jesus, Paul makes this very clear, and you hear me say this all the time, and I say this all the time because it's so true. We are being conformed to the image of Christ. That is what being a follower of Christ means, is we are being conformed to his image. We are meant to begin to look like Jesus. We're meant to sound like Jesus. We're meant to think like Jesus. If Jesus were to handle a situation, how is Jesus going to handle that situation? That's how we handle the situation. That's how we handle the person. That's how we handle the conversation. Anything in our life, we're meant to do as Jesus would do it, because as followers of Christ, we're meant to look and be conformed to the image of Christ. Now think about that for a moment. I'm supposed to look like Jesus. And the world hated Jesus. And if I look like Jesus, the world's going to hate me. And Jesus never hated the world. I mean, think for a moment of all the things that Jesus went through in his ministry. He went to his own hometown. And if you'll remember, if you go through the Gospels, anytime Jesus goes somewhere, what is he doing? He's either performing some great miracle, some sort of healing, or he's just teaching the truth of God's word that has been missed for so long. He wasn't doing anything wrong. He wasn't doing anything to intimidate or hurt anybody. In fact, he was helping people everywhere that he went. And yet people tried to stone him. He was rejected by his own hometown. He was rejected by his family. People thought him crazy. And it culminates with the entire city, all of Jerusalem, choosing a murderer to go free over Jesus. Jesus had done nothing wrong, nothing to warrant any sort of backlash from anyone. And yet, he was crucified. If anyone had reason to hate the world, if anybody ever had any reason to hate their own creation, I feel like Jesus had a really good reason. And yet, what did our Lord say when he was on the cross? He said, "Father, forgive them. Father, forgive them. They know not what they do." Church, if we are going to be followers of Christ, yes, the world is going to hate us. However, we have no place to hate the world, because Jesus doesn't hate the world. You might say, "Well, Pastor Brian, I hear you. I hear you say I can't be friends with the world because I can't be friends with the world and friends with God. And you're telling me I can't hate the world because Jesus didn't hate the world. So what am I supposed to do?" We're supposed to love. Right? Very simple. We're supposed to love the world. And no, it's not going to be easy. It's going to be really, really hard. Because it's never easy to love someone who hates you. In fact, Jesus said as much. He said, "What profit is it to you if you love someone who loves you? Love those who hate you. Love those who persecute you." And the world, make no mistake, church, will always hate Jesus, and it will always hate his followers. Verse 22 says, "If I had not come and spoken to them, they would not have been guilty of sin. But now they have no excuse for their sin. Whoever hates me hates my Father also. If I had not done among them the works that no one else did, they would not be guilty of sin. But now they have seen and hated both me and my Father. But the word that is written in their law must be fulfilled. They hated me without a cause." Jesus makes a very peculiar statement here in verse 22. It's a difficult statement to look at on the face of it. But he says, "If I had not come and spoken to them, they would not have been guilty of sin." Like, Jesus, what does that mean? Are you saying that before you came, nobody was ever guilty of sin? No, that's not what Jesus is saying. The world is guilty of sin. The world has always been guilty of sin ever since the fall. No person has been born into this world who was not born into sin, the exception of Jesus, due to the virgin birth. So what does he mean when he says, "If I had not come, then they would not be guilty of sin"? Essentially, what Jesus is pointing out here is there's no longer any excuse to be had. Nobody ever will have another excuse for their sin ever again. Prior to Jesus coming, people could have used ignorance as an excuse. It wouldn't have held up, but they could have tried to use ignorance as an excuse for sin. But when Jesus came, that is the full, complete revelation of God in the person of Jesus Christ. God has fully revealed himself to the world. He revealed himself to the world in the person of Jesus. And therefore, no one has any excuse for rejecting the Lord. Because to reject Jesus is to reject the Father. To hate the Son is to hate the Father. The two are so closely intertwined, so closely connected due to the doctrine of the Trinity, that to hate one is to hate the other. And Jesus kind of goes through, he says, they hate me, they hate the one who sent me, they hate my Father who sent me. Verse 20, "If I had not done among them the works that no one else did, they would not be guilty of sin, but now they've seen and hated both me and my Father." Again, what is he saying? When Jesus performed his miracles, There's really only one thing that people should have been doing. They should have been seeing this and saying, there's absolutely no way that this would be possible if you don't have the power of God behind you. But that wasn't the response. The response instead was, they actually attributed the power to Satan. And so the people hated Jesus, and they tried so hard, over and over and over again, to silence him, to get rid of him, ultimately culminating with the crucifixion. But I want us to notice something in all of this. Because you see, this is another thing that we kind of get a little sidetracked on. And this is more of a, we didn't mean for this to happen, but it happened, kind of a thing. See, Jesus says, the world's going to hate you because it hated me. And the world hated Jesus without cause. That's the scripture. It was always going to be, the Messiah was going to come, and the Messiah would be hated without cause. Church, sin is largely irrational. It is. Sin is largely irrational. Because, let's take Jesus for example. If the world hated Jesus, then what's the rational thing to do? Either prove him wrong so that nobody listens to him, or ignore him. That's the rational thing to do. But that was not what was done. Instead, he was killed. As followers of Christ, we're meant to do and teach exactly what Jesus did and taught. We're meant to love one another. We're meant to love the world. We're meant to preach the gospel. We're meant to share the love of Christ with the world, and the world will hate us for that. Now, the rational thing to do is either prove the gospel wrong, which many have tried, all have failed, or just ignore us. Because if we're off our rockers, then what we say doesn't really mean anything to anybody anyway. And yet, the world hates and persecutes believers. At this very moment, there are believers meeting in huts and in holes and in basements, and they are huddled together and they're speaking in whispers. Because if they're found to be meeting, if they're found to be going through the scriptures together in any way, then they are putting their lives, their families, their occupations, their homes, they're putting all of these things in jeopardy. If they are found out, then best case, they go to prison. Worst case, they're killed. And that is happening all over the world at this very moment. Is that rational? To want to kill someone because they're sitting around talking and reading together? Of course it's not rational. But sin isn't rational. But what I want us to see here is this. We don't need to give the world a reason to hate us. We don't. The world will hate us all on its own simply because we're followers of Christ. There is nothing that we need to do to make that happen. It's natural. Which is why it really makes me cringe when Christians go out and do all the really ridiculous things that they do. And yes, I will call out some of them for you this morning. Going out and standing on the side of a road with signs saying, God hates fags, or you are going to go to hell, or different things like that. You know what that is? That's obnoxious. That is obnoxious. That's not helpful. That doesn't do anything other than give people a reason to hate us besides we're followers of Christ. And there are plenty more examples, but the point is this, church. All we have to do is exactly what God has called us to do. This isn't something that Jesus is telling us. You need to go out and you need to look for this. If you're going to be my follower, you need to go out and you need to figure out a way to get the world to hate you. That's not what he's saying. He's giving a warning. He's just gone through what it looks like to be a follower of Christ. He just talked about the relationship that we're supposed to have with him, the relationship we're supposed to have with each other, and now he's saying, if we're going to have those two relationships, if we're going to live in that way, the natural byproduct of living that way is this. We don't have to force this. We don't have to make this happen. It will happen all on its own. So let's just do what God has called us to do, rather than throwing in all the extra stuff that kind of rubs people the wrong way and actually is nothing more than annoying and obnoxious. Because the gospel is not annoying and it's not obnoxious. The gospel is pure truth. And yes, it convicts, and yes, it can be painful, and yes, it can be hard to hear. But that's exactly why we're supposed to share it in love. And then Jesus follows this up. Verse 26 says, "But when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me. And you also will bear witness because you have been with me from the beginning." Now, there's actually a couple of different theories on why this is here. Because it's kind of an interruption of sorts. Because Jesus is talking about, you know, the world is going to hate you, the world hates me, because it hates me, it's going to hate you. And now he throws in there, the Holy Spirit is going to be sent. Jesus is going to send the Holy Spirit. All believers will have the Holy Spirit. The Spirit will bear witness about the Son, and we also will bear witness about Christ for what he has done in our own lives and what he has shown us in his word. And some people look at this and say, well, that's kind of an interruption. That really doesn't belong there. But actually, I don't think this is an interruption at all. I think this is encouragement. Because remember, Jesus has just said, the world is going to hate you. The world is going to persecute you. It's already hated me. It's going to hate you. There's nothing you can do to change that. There's nothing you can do to stop that. And if we know that, if we go into being followers of Christ and we know that the world is going to hate us for doing it, then the temptation is, well, maybe I should just avoid the world. If the world's going to hate me, then I probably shouldn't be around them. And that has played out in so many different ways. You go throughout church history, there were so many different monastic societies that were built and extreme separation that was done. And the whole purpose of it was to get away from the world. The thought being, the further away from the world I can get, the closer to God I can be. Of course, there's a problem with that. Because Jesus said to go to the world. He didn't say to go away from the world. And while that isn't something that anybody here is doing, at least I don't think so. No, I don't think so. We separate ourselves from the world in a different way. We may not do it physically, but we certainly do it by keeping silence. We're quiet. We choose not to say anything about the gospel. We choose not to pray in public because we don't want to do anything that's going to draw attention to ourselves. We choose not to pursue a conversation with that coworker because what happens if they don't like what I have to say? And you see, that right there is separation from the world all on its own. Because what we do is rather than proclaim the gospel, rather than truly follow Jesus and do what Jesus has called us to do, we try to blend in. We try to blend into our surroundings so that we're overlooked. Nobody notices us. Nobody hears us. And we tell ourselves that we can be followers of Christ by being silent and being in the background. And that's not true. Because no one who is truly seeking and following after Jesus can be silent. We cannot be silent about the good news. We cannot be silent about the gospel. We cannot be silent about what God has done in us through us and for us. We can't be silent about that. If we can, then did we really experience it? Do we really believe it to be true? This is not something that we should be silent about. But the truth is, we know. We know that the world hates us. We know the world doesn't want to hear from us. And so we find it easier to just stay in the background. And we don't say anything at all. But church, that's not what we're here to do. That's not what we've been called to do. We're here to bear witness to Jesus. The Holy Spirit comes to us. Jesus is mentioning this. He's bringing this up because he wants us to know, no matter what happens, yes, the world will hate you. Yes, the world will persecute you. Those things will happen if you follow me. But understand that at no point will you be alone in it. That's the encouragement that we're meant to have here. We will never face it alone. We will always have the very presence of God in us. We will have the very presence of God with us, no matter what we face, no matter what we come against, because he sends the helper. The helper will bear witness to the Son, and we bear witness to him as well. Church, I understand completely. It is intimidating. It is scary. Knowing that the world hates us, knowing that the world hates Christ, knowing that the world hates the message that Jesus has given us to share. It is scary to share that. But Jesus also said, I can't find it. Verse 20. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted you, they'll also persecute you. But then this is key. It says, if they kept my word, they'll also keep yours. You see, even in the midst of this warning that Jesus is giving, there's still the glimmer of hope. Yes. The majority of the world is going to hate us. The majority of the world is going to persecute us because it hates Jesus. But there's always going to be those people who respond. There's always going to be those who hear the gospel, who respond to the gospel, who accept the gospel, who rejoice in the gospel. You know how I know that? Because we're all right here. The only reason that any of us are here right now, the only reason that anybody is a follower of Christ right now is because somebody else shared the gospel with them. The only reason I'm here is because somebody shared the gospel with me. And thank God that they did, because if they didn't, I don't know where I'd be. I don't want to think where I'd be. Is it possible that I could have spat in their face? Absolutely. Kind of did at some points. Depending on who you are, depending on how God brought you to where you are right now, I'm sure that there are plenty of testimonies of us right now who could say, when I first heard the gospel, I wanted nothing to do with it. I hated the person who shared the gospel with me. Why? I don't know about you, but for me, the person that shared the gospel with me, they weren't rude about it. They weren't overbearing. They were actually very nice about it. They invited me to talk with them. They invited me to go to church with them. They talked to me about what God's word says about sin. They talked to me about what's going to happen to me when I one day die? They were concerned about me. And I was angry with them because of it. I didn't like the fact that they were sharing this with me. Again, sin is irrational. But eventually, the Spirit broke through, convicted me, and I surrendered to the Lord. That happens for every single person who comes to faith in Jesus. Every single person who becomes a follower of Christ has to have that happen to them. Somebody has to share it with you. Somebody has to tell you what is in the gospel. What is the good news of the gospel? Is there a chance that we reject it? Absolutely. But there's also a chance that we don't. There's a chance right now. Whoever it may be. Maybe it's a family member, maybe it's a coworker, maybe it's just some stranger that you end up talking to at the store. But no matter who it is there a chance that they hate you for sharing this with them? Absolutely. But there's also a chance that they become followers of Christ. And church, that's why we're here. We're not here to be in the background. We're not here to hide. We're here to be bold and to proclaim the truth of the gospel for all the world to hear. And then finally, Jesus kind of gives the summation of everything that he's saying. Chapter 16, verse 1, he says, "I have said all these things to you to keep you from falling away. They will put you out of the synagogues. Indeed, the hour is coming when whoever kills you will think he is offering service to God. And they will do these things because they have not known the Father nor me. But I have said these things to you that when their hour comes, you may remember that I told them to you." Why does Jesus say all of this? I mean, honestly, wouldn't it be a better promotional material if he doesn't say this? Isn't it better to just let people think that no matter what, people are always going to love you, whether you come to Christ, whether you don't come to Christ. But if you come to Christ, everything's going to be actually a lot better, so you should probably come to Christ anyway. Wouldn't it be like a lot better? Wouldn't we get a lot more people to say yes if we did it that way? I don't know, probably. Go ask Joel Osteen. I know. But no, Jesus doesn't shy away from any of this. In fact, he says on multiple, this is not the only time that he says this. We went through Luke 14 several weeks ago, which is what? The cost of discipleship. There's a cost to following Jesus. There's always going to be a cost to following Jesus. And the truth is, it could very well cost you your life to follow Jesus. But from an evangelism standpoint, this passage is calling for that decision, because the decision has to be clear. People need to know what it is that they're choosing. And the truth is, if we don't choose Jesus, then we choose a hateful, spiteful, dying world. And yes, if we choose the world, then we can do absolutely anything that we want as long as we're here. You can think anything that you want. You can believe anything that you want. You can do anything that you want. For a time. But eventually, that broad path, it leads to one place. It leads to destruction. So yes, if we become followers of Christ, this is something that we have to understand is going to happen. It's something that is real. It's something that has been happening for centuries. Jesus says, there are going to be those who kill you, and they're going to think that they're doing it in service to God. That was the Apostle Paul. Paul was killing Christians, and why was he doing it? Because he thought he was doing God a favor. There are going to be no shortage of reasons why the world chooses to hate and persecute the church. And there are going to be no shortage of ways in which they do it. But what Jesus is doing is he's calling us to make that decision, to have that understanding. See, Jesus says these things in order to turn away spurious conversions. Jesus doesn't want anybody coming to follow him without understanding what it really means to follow him. And the reason that we're doing this study, the reason we're going through all this, is because, quite honestly, the vast majority of people who call themselves Christian in the world don't actually understand what that means. Don't understand what it really means to follow Jesus, what he's really calling us to do, or what the consequences might be if we choose to. And this is the consequence. If we choose to be followers of Christ, the world will hate us. And as I said earlier, there are places in the world right now where just mentioning Jesus, to even just mention his name, could be a death sentence. And it's incredible to hear testimonies. It's incredible to see the way that those brothers and sisters share the gospel with people. Because they can't be open about it. They have to do it secretly. And it's incredible to see the things that they do, the way that they get around trying to share the gospel and to grow God's church. They do it very harmlessly. They start businesses. They get involved in their communities. They build relationships with people. And very slowly but surely, they begin to share the gospel. It can take months, even years, before they share the gospel to the point that a person actually understands it and responds to it. We're not quite that hamstringed where we are. It'll happen eventually. Because, as Jesus says, the world hates him, and it's going to hate us. So we have to understand this, church. And the reason that Jesus is saying all of this is because he doesn't want anybody to be blindsided. Because being a follower of Christ means we're going to have a run-in with the world. We're going to have a run-in with somebody who hates us for no other reason than because we know Jesus. It's the only reason. And for a person who is ruled and controlled by the world and by sin, that's enough. The reason that Jesus does all of this, he says, I'm telling you this so that when it happens, you remember that I said it. Meaning what? Meaning Jesus is saying, I don't want you to get discouraged by it. I don't want you to get hurt by it. I don't want you to doubt what you're doing. I don't want you to doubt what I've called you to do because of what the world does to you. The world is going to hate you. That's a part of being a follower of Christ. The question is not if the world hates me. The question is when the world hates me, what am I going to do for the Lord after that? How am I going to serve the Lord after that? Will I serve the Lord after that? Because if we're not truly followers of Christ, then when we face the world, when we face that hatred, when we face that contempt, we won't last. We will fall away. But if we are followers of Christ, we know that Jesus said that's exactly what we have to expect. It's exactly what we're going to face. And yet, he's going to be with us through it anyway. He's going to carry us through. He's going to give us strength. He's going to give us the words. He's going to give us everything that we need to do exactly what he's called us to do. To love him, to serve him, to love one another, to share the gospel with a desperate, lost, and dying world. So church, we have a challenge this morning, but honestly, what I would like us to do is to just come together in prayer this morning. You can do that however you wish. You can come to the altar and pray at the altar. You can just stay right where you are, right where you're seated, and just pray where you are. But what I want us to do this morning is I want us to pray for one another. And this is what I want us to pray. I want us to pray that as a church, as brothers and sisters in Christ, that we would stand together. That when the inevitability of the world hating us and facing those times of hardship and those times of persecution from the world, when they inevitably come our way, that we would not fall. That we would not cease to be followers of Christ. But that instead, that we would recognize exactly what it really means. It means that we are his. It means that he is ours. It means that we are living and doing exactly what he has called us to do. And that should be encouraging. It can be difficult. It can be dangerous. It can be worrisome. It can be burdensome. It can be all of those things when we're going through it in the moment. But ultimately, if the world hates us, no. It's only because we're with Jesus. We're on that narrow road that can be difficult. It can be rocky. But ultimately, we know exactly where it leads. It leads to our eternity with him. So let's pray for one another this morning. Pray for strength. Pray for peace. Ultimately, pray that we are united together so that whatever it is that we face, we don't face it alone, but we face it together as God's church, as brothers and sisters in Christ, knowing that whatever it is that the world may want to throw at us, we have God with us. We have each other. We have the Lord. And that is all that we need. So let's join together in prayer this morning.